Hey friends, welcome to episode 603 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, and this is a non-wrestling episode of the podcast. I try to do it every, I don't know, 5, 6 weeks. Try to have something a little different outside of the normal wrestling talk that usually my co-host Chad Smart and I do. Next week, teaser, spoiler alert, if you will, my buddy Tyler Heath Hatton will join me here on the podcast, and we are going to be talking about Strike Pro Wrestling, which is making a return to Mountain Dew Park in Marion, Illinois, if you are in Southern Illinois, before the Thrillbillies game on Thursday, June 18th. So just a very short time away from that happening. And yes, yours truly is stepping back in the ring. Tyler and I will talk all about that on the podcast. That is again next week's episode. And you'll have probably, if you are a wrestling fan who's back watching or listening to this particular episode, you'll have seen the announcement on the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page by the time this is dropping. I like doing the Q&As. And usually I get a lot of questions from multiple people. This time I got a lot of questions from one person, Ken Johnson, who always comes with a great number of questions and talking about some things that I was going to maybe deviate from doing the Q&A if I didn't get any questions and talk about the topic of AI. And we're going to save that for last. But I do appreciate Ken weighing in. And these are all his questions. This will be a shorter than usual episode too. I am recording this on Thursday, before it drops on Monday, because we are leaving bright and early on Friday morning. By the time you're listening to this, I am already at my vacation destination, which is Montana. I'm taking that off the bucket list of places to go. You've probably, if you are a regular follower, you may have seen the Huntsberger Chronicles already from Montana episode 100. So, as I'm recording this, I don't know where I'm having that burger, but I'm sure it was great. So, be sure to check that out and follow along as well. So, as I mentioned, Ken has multiple questions. Why are number one is why are community colleges needed? So, for those who don't know, I am the executive director of public information and marketing at Shawnee Community College, a very small community college in far south, southern, or the farthest south in southern Illinois. It is, we are in the lower, five counties. We are, quite frankly, if we aren't in the poorest part of the state, we are definitely in one of the poorest parts of the state. So just by that virtue alone, I can tell you why Shawnee Community College is needed. But I think community colleges in general are needed. And my perception has changed through the years of community college. When I was in high school, I was able to take some dual credit classes and actually graduate high school halfway to a minor in Spanish, thanks to working with one of, that was a university that we worked with, but I got my English credits out of the way working with a community college in my community. So they're great assets, they're great tools, they're great resources. And it's not just for the education part of things. They, as the name implies, community college, it provides resources and opportunities for members of the community. So you don't have to be a student per se, but you can go, and if they have a fitness center, you may be able to take advantage of that. We do several community education courses, many of which are free. Some there are a fee to pay, but learning things, plants, gardening, painting, cooking, baking. We do driver safety. There are all kinds of resources that are available that, again, being in far south Illinois, far southern Illinois, you may have to drive 50, 60 minutes to get to a place that would have these resources readily available in a bigger community like Carbondale or Marion, which, when you look at it from a very large lens, those communities are very small as well. But when you compare them to a Caro or an Anna or an Olin, they're huge metropolis. So they're very necessary in the educational process of preparing students for the future, not just students who are high school age, who have just graduated from high school, but adults, most of our students these days are adult learners, and they're either going to college for the first time or they're going back. They're getting their truck driving CDL, they're getting their welding certification, they're becoming a nurse. There are so many opportunities there. It is not as expensive as the university, and it is again close to home and providing that opportunity. And I'm not talking just about Shawnee, but obviously I'm gonna scream from the mountaintops the Shawnee name, but wherever you live, there's probably a community college within a 30 to 45 minute drive that you can take advantage of and do get your education there. Well, something come along to dethrone TikTok now that a US company owns the app. I don't think it's necessarily because a US company owns the app, but I do think, 20-ish years ago, it was MySpace. I had a MySpace page. I wrote blogs on MySpace. I thought this is the greatest thing. So, it was a way to reconnect. I had reconnected with some old high school friends on MySpace. And then in 2008, and I know it came out sooner, but 2008, I was introduced to Facebook. And I think that was a game changer. And it has become all of these social media platforms have, in my opinion, improved from the previous incarnation. And Facebook continues to evolve. And I really am finding a lot of engagement and interaction through Facebook now, more so than I did before. And I don't know what has changed with that, but I really am enjoying the Facebook experience even more so now than I had before. But this question was specifically about TikTok. And I do think it caught on like gangbusters during the pandemic, obviously. I had it when it was Musical.ly, and then TikTok became a thing. It evolved into TikTok. And, there are consumers and there are creators. And as long as there are continuing to be creators, but the ratio is so vastly different. Yeah, I think something else is going to come along eventually. I don't know that it's going to happen anytime soon. And I think that there's room for other platforms out there, and we can continue to evolve and grow and develop the social media platforms as they become more readily available. So, but yeah, I think if you're not on TikTok, you're missing out because there are a lot of fun videos and it is very algorithm based, like most social medias are becoming. But I feel like TikTok is probably even more niche in that regard. Next question is, what would you consider, or would you consider, I'm sorry, for those watching, I do have to put my cheaters on. Would you consider a fill-in anchor spot for a broadcaster too? I have noticed that some stations bring back local meteorologists during bad storms. I would consider it. It would depend on the time and what the opportunity looked like. Back, gosh, probably I left WSIM. For those who don't know, I spent 22 years in the TV news business, 15 of those anchoring, co-anchoring the morning news at WSIL TV in Southern Illinois, which has just been bought out again, and they're going through a whole transition and change. But back when I left in 2019, I would say it was probably 2021, they reached out and asked if I would fill in on their weekend morning show. So I was working Monday through Friday at the job at Idea Creative Marketing, and then they had asked, and it was there wasn't really a timeline, and the hours sucked, quite frankly, because not only it wasn't just going in and anchoring, it was producing and putting the newscast together too, which is the most time-consuming part of it. So I declined just because I didn't feel like I was going to have a life with working Monday through Friday and then getting up in the middle of the night to go into work on Saturday and Sunday. And there again, there was no like end date set. And we didn't even get into the money side of things. So I don't know. But short answer is yeah, I would consider it for sure. On a very limited fill-in basis. And again, it would depend on the time. Mount Rushmore of songs. If you could only listen to the same four songs on repeat. I think I answered this one last year. Someone asked me something about if I could only listen to a certain number of songs over and over again. Gosh, I and I'm trying to think back to what my answer was then. I like the song Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. That's one of my favorites. The Hero by Phil Collins and David Crosby. Pretty much anything from Michael Jackson. Since then, the song The Fate of Ophelia by Taylor Swift. I love that song. So it's weird. It's eclectic. I'm a pop culture or a pop music connoisseur more so than any other genre of music. So anything from the 80s, I would probably be pretty content with listening to on repeat as well. How often were the Chuck E. Cheese mascot outfits cleaned, like professionally? So I remember, I did the Chuck E. Cheese podcast a few months or got probably about 6 or 8 weeks ago. We had like stuff there to kind of clean it in-house, and that happened anytime someone took it off. A lot of times it would get sprayed out with Lysol, and that was usually, and then they had a brush that would they'd comb the fur out with on any of those particular costumes. Sending it off to the dry cleaner, because it would get sent off to the dry cleaners, and I can't remember if it had to do something special with the head, if we had to take stuff apart and clean the head, because it has a like a mold, or not a mold, but a thing that rests on your head, kind of like when you put on a baseball or a football helmet or a softball helmet, how it's got the stuff inside it. And I don't know what that's called, but anyway, it had that in there. Honestly, I don't remember how often we sent it. That was 30 plus years ago. I would say probably quarterly, but that's a guess. I don't know how often it got sent away to get the professional cleaning job. Now, at the college, I'm the keeper of the mascot costume there, and it doesn't get worn very often. Not nearly. I mean, Chuck E. Cheese, it was worn daily, but I will. It is machine washable, the costume that we have. The head obviously is not, so I clean that out with, using some gentle cleaner on the inside of it, and I will throw the gloves and the pants and the torso into the washing machine. Don't dry it, hang it up. I've heard that vodka actually is used a lot of times on costumes that can't be washed, and it's safe for that. I don't know. I've never tried that. But who knew? What are your feelings on AI generated music flooding the market like YouTube? So I'm glad that he asked about AI, because I did want to talk about it and probably talk a little in depth about it, not just the music side of things, because there are apps now that create music, create videos, and some of them are right now, a lot of them are silly enough that it's not real. I know that, obviously the ones where they bring back celebrities who have passed away and they're in a wrestling ring or they're running down the street or whatever, or you can insert yourself into those situations. I know those are obviously easy to tell, but there have been some videos that have popped up that are harder to tell. I do like that social media sites flag stuff as AI generated content, because, and again, I don't think that it's cheating or it's, you're doing anything wrong using AI, but I think anything wrong from an ethical point of view. And I know that there's arguments about using AI and its effects and impact on the environment, and I'm not here to discuss or debate or comment on those, because I don't know the whole story about the impact that it's having or that it will potentially have on the water supply and those kinds of things. I do find myself conserving water even more so now, though, keeping and being mindful, because I do utilize AI. The one thing I can't stand is all of the AI generated posters and social media posts, that it's very, very obvious. And I use AI, to get the idea, to get the inspiration. I may use it to manipulate a picture of my mascot, the monkey, for example, have him doing something different. The artwork for this podcast is probably going to have an element of AI to it, but I take the idea from AI and then I create the rest of that through Canva. And I do that in my line of work as well. It does help, and I'm a department of one, so it does expedite the process, and it helps speed things up when I'm working on deadlines and trying to get things done, something written for social media, something written for, I'll throw in the ideas and the thoughts behind it, and then AI will kind of, I call it pretty it up or make it a little more smooth or tighter, but you have to check it. You know, I know people who cut and paste and drop it, and sometimes they leave the prompts in their po you know. I'm by no means an expert on it, and I you know, I'm not a proponent, or I'm not an opponent of it, but I'm also the thing that annoys me with it is, and I get that small businesses can't afford to hire a graphic designer to create artwork and do the things. And this kind of also bleeds into Ken's last question about AI threatening graphic designers in marketing. And yeah, I do think that that is a huge threat. But again, when there are tight budgets, and I can understand where you might not be able to hire a graphic artist at $125 or $150 an hour to create a flyer or to create social media posts and whatnot. But I think there is such a sameness to it all. You know, I get we've actually had to write operating standards on the use of AI when it comes to, because it is so easy and convenient that if you have a even if you don't have a subscription, it is easy to just throw in the prompt and tell it what you want and then to get the results. But again, I'm not a fan of the look, and you know, if you know, you know, you know, you've seen the posters, you've seen the stuff on Facebook or even Instagram or TikTok, where it has this very uniform look, and then you see the trends where people are updating. You know, at Halloween last year, I think it was people were doing the scary movie scene. At Christmas, they were doing the ginger or the like the lollipop and the candy cane, and they're dressed in like in a Christmas scene. It's fun. It is what it is. I am not against AI by any means. I know that it is a tool. I think that eventually, speaking about the news from earlier, I don't think we're that far off from AI generated newscasters. And we know that it can write stories and put together those things. But again, without that human oversight, you run into fact-checking problems, because AI is just searching the internet and pulling information and spitting it out. And I've talked about it before here on the podcast. I have put in prompts to get ideas for a podcast or talking about a topic on a podcast, and it will throw out inaccurate information, things that I know aren't factual or aren't right. And then you question it. You know, AI will generate something, and I use ChatGPT. It will generate, you know, I'll say, hey, give me some ideas for this post to talk more about something going on at the college for a class or whatever. And then it spits out this image, and it's got all this graphics and text and stuff all over it, which is, I've always thought and have always learned or been told that you don't want your graphics to be overly busy. And so I'll say, isn't this too busy for a Facebook post? And then it will say, oh, yeah, you're right. And then it will rethink, and then it will spit something else out. So refining it and talking to it and learning it. And so it learns about you, but you're learning about it too, because you have to go into using AI with some knowledge. You can't just have it write a policy or write a procedure or a process or write a set of bylaws or a press release. It's there to me, it's there more as an assistant or a helper, a launching point, a jumping off point, a starting point. But it's not, to me, it's not the final product. And that goes for the graphic design too. And I'm not good at graphic design at all. You know, I've evolved, and I've learned a lot. When I was at Idea Creative Marketing, we had a graphic artist there, who did most of the stuff, but I played around in Canva in the last 4.5 years or 4+ years. that I've been gone from there and doing exclusively doing the marketing and the graphic creation for Shawnee College, I feel like I've evolved with that as well. And AI has helped along the way. I've had to be able to create something that, giving me a different look for our mascot Bernie, or like I said, with this podcast, I'll do it. The Hunsberger Chronicles, I've used it. Episode 100, if you haven't noticed already, it's going to have a different look moving forward. And I did use AI to assist with that, but to not completely create. It provides ideas, and it provides that forum for you to explore and see what you like and what you don't like and what you think works and doesn't work. But then again, to take that inspiration and use it in that Canva setting or whatever. I've only ever used Canva, but I know other people use Adobe or other art software. I'm not that proficient in it, but yeah, I do think that there is a serious, I don't know if threat is the right word, but yes, graphic artists, DJs, which I think we've already seen that kind of happening in the radio industry. You can set it, program a voice, tell it what songs you want it to play, what you want it to say, when you want it to say it. And eventually, as the it gets the fine-tuning and it keeps evolving and becoming a thing, yeah, I think that you'll turn on the news in the not so distant future, I say 5 years or less, and you're not going to know if that's a human sitting there reading the news or not. It's going to look and feel that realistic. And I think it's going to happen in other walks of life. That's where I think young people today need to, I'm not saying embrace it and love it and use it every day of your life, but learn about it and know about it and be on the front end of all of this, because we saw it happen. I can remember when the internet, I was in college when the internet became a thing, and people were skeptical and pessimistic and questioned it and called it a fad and it's not going to last. And why are we doing this? And look where we are today. Social media, the same thing. We talked earlier about TikTok and these different incarnations and iterations of social media continues to evolve, continues to change, continues to garner the attention from folks. So I think AI is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. We don't need to be afraid of it, but we, don't also need to just completely rely on it. And I know that there are some people that that's all they do. Everything they generate now and post on social is AI generated. Their videos on TikTok, their post on Instagram or on Facebook, they're AI generated. Have some originality with it as well. And that's the thing with AI. It's made everyone a little more creative in terms of being able to do. And my biggest thing with AI is being afraid of coming up with a good idea and then somebody thinking that it was AI that did it. Because I consider myself a fairly creative person and have good ideas and things that I have thought along the way. But again, and it's not necessarily that it's like cheating, like I said, but I think that some people maybe discredit folks who do use AI, or if they have a AI generated graphic or whatever the case may be. But you also want to be authentic with it, and you don't want to make it look as if you're creating artwork or photography, but you're using AI to do that and then try to pass it off as something original that you've done. So again, that's where I think that the oversight from social media has become crucial in putting that AI. And you get the older folks or folks who are more naive, I guess, or maybe not as up to on the AI looks, the telltale signs. I mean, at one when it was first out, it started to have six fingers or an extra ear or whatever the and they were missing those kinds of things. And so those were the obvious signs, but people were still not seeing it. So I think it's here to stay. Embrace it, learn about it, adapt with it, make it work for you, don't work for it. And always say please and thank you when you put in your prompts. So when they take over one day, They don't enslave you completely, but I partially kid on that. But I think I'm going to wrap up this week's episode. I still have to pack and get everything ready for this trip that we're leaving for in about 10 hours. So, friends, thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode, and we will see you next time.